Hey everyone, this is Karen, and you're listening to the Raising Tiny Disciples podcast, where parents receive encouragement in their daily journey to disciple their kids to be followers of Jesus. Discipleship isn't a program, it's a lifestyle. Now let's do this. Hey, welcome back to the podcast. We are in day three of session three, and this is going to be broken into two parts because there's a lot of good content here, and I don't want us to rush through it, and I really want us to really take it in and absorb it. But the title of today's lesson is He Worked Mightily Through the Disciples. I think it's fair to wonder if we can really enjoy and experience the Holy Spirit like the early church did. Maybe we wonder if there was something special about the disciples that we don't possess, like a strength of faith or a track record of obedience, and therefore the power they experience isn't one that will ever be activated in our lives. Or maybe we assume that the Holy Spirit moved with that kind of power back then. It's okay to have these questions, but I'm hopeful we'll see today how much we have in common with the 120 who received the Holy Spirit. They were men and women, fathers and mothers. They were disciples who had doubts, and they were followers with faults and plenty of failures. But what they all had in common was they made themselves available. They wanted God's power activated in their lives. Okay, I just want to stop right here for just a second. They made themselves available, y'all. That is the key. That is the key to experiencing God in the way that He wants us to. We are so busy running here, running there, errands, taking the kids to all their extracurricular activities and work and just all the things that we do not make ourselves available to God. And I've often heard this saying, if Satan can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. Why? Because when we are busy, we will completely miss out on God and completely miss out on those experiences with Him. And I just want to read this verse in 2 Chronicles 16:9. It says, "The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him." Y'all, God is constantly looking and observing on the earth to see who is making themselves available so that I can use them. You see, if you look all throughout the Bible, He used very ordinary people. Why? Because those people just made themselves available. And that's all we have to be for God to do a mighty work through us, is that we have to be available. So let's recap a little bit what happened at the day of Pentecost, as we learned in the last lesson. So, you know, these 120 disciples are waiting for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes, it falls on them. They all begin to speak in tongues. It's like 9 o'clock in the morning, and there are people around who think that these people are drunk. Okay. So we're going to look at Peter's change of heart after the Holy Spirit comes. So in response to the accusation of day drinking, Peter stood up with a new boldness and began to preach salvation to the skeptical crowd. This is no small thing if we remember who pre-Pentecost Peter was. From the moment Jesus called this fisherman to follow Him, Peter struggled to faithfully trust and testify to Jesus. Peter cared deeply about the opinions of others and was labeled a coward for denying Jesus 3 times before Jesus was crucified. But now we see a forgiven Peter, a reinstated Peter, a grateful for grace Peter, a fearless Peter, an empowered Peter. So in your own time, just completely read all of Acts chapter 2. But we're going to be kind of walking through it today, but definitely dive into that on your own. But full of the Holy Spirit, Peter was the first to stand and preach a legendary sermon about salvation being available to all men and women, both Jew and Gentile, young and old. Why do you seem so surprised about what you see? This is precisely what the prophet Joel said would take place. So after Peter recited the Old Testament prophecy about God pouring out his Spirit on all people, he concluded with this. Exalted to the right hand of God, Jesus has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. I can only imagine the passion with which Peter preached the bold words, "Be assured of this." Post-Pentecost, Peter was utterly fearless in proclaiming the name of Jesus in the face of adversity. His life is the prime example of the radical change that occurs in a person who has been baptized with the Spirit of God. All right, so now we're going to look at Acts chapter 2, verses 37 through 41. Now, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children, and for all who are far off, everyone who the Lord our God calls to himself." And with many other words he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." So those who received the word were baptized, and they were added that day about 3,000 souls. What really stood out to me in this verse was when he says, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." So even, you know, back then, the world was so crooked, and it is still so, so crooked today. And I look around and I'm like, I want to be different. I want to be set apart from this world. I want to look different. I want to be different. And what makes us different is the Holy Spirit of God. So it wasn't Peter's persuasive speech that caused them to be convicted. It was hearing the gospel preached in the power of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you have children who feel far off. Maybe you're afraid you are too far off. This promise is for you. It's for your children. There are no exceptions. There is no place we can run that this promise can't reach. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is a gift to all who repent. So now we're going to take a look at Acts chapter 3. And I'm going to kind of just summarize the first part of it, and then we are going to jump in at verse 6. Acts chapter 3. Sorry, I'm just trying to get there real quickly. All right, so what's happening here is Peter and John are going to the temple. And as they're going to the temple, there is a lame man at the gate. He's been lame since birth. He gets put there every day by someone so that he can beg for money, because I guess obviously he's not able to do laborious work because he can't walk. And so as Peter and John are passing, he cries out to them and asks them for money. So we're going to pick up in verse 6 and see the response of the disciples. Says, "But Peter said, 'I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, get up and walk.'" Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple with them. All of the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. When they realized he was the lame beggar they had seen so often at the gate, they were absolutely astounded. They all rushed out in amazement to Solomon's colonnade, where the man was holding tightly to Peter and John. Peter saw his opportunity and addressed the crowd. "People of Israel," he said, What is so surprising about this? And why stare at us as though we had made this man walk in our own power or godliness? For it is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of all our ancestors, who has brought glory to his servant Jesus by doing this. This is the same Jesus who you handed over and rejected before Pilate, despite Pilate's decision to release him. You rejected this holy, righteous one and instead demanded the release of a murderer. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead, and we are witnesses of this fact. Through faith in the name of Jesus, this man was healed, and you know how crippled he was before. Faith in Jesus' name has healed him before your very eyes. Wow. So what happens is Peter and John perform this miracle, and as a result, the people take notice. And so then Peter jumps on this opportunity to preach the gospel, which is amazing. You know, Peter used this display of power to point to Jesus and assure the crowd that none of his miraculous works were because of his own power or godliness. Peter's aim was to point people to Jesus alone. It wasn't for his own personal gain and glory. And so if you see like people performing miracles and things and not giving God the glory and not using that as a chance to spread the gospel, just know that there's something very wrong with that. So how does Acts chapter 3 verses 1 through 16 that we just read and went over, how does it speak to your role as a mom? What is your aim as a mom? And what is your motive for wanting to parent in the power of the Holy Spirit? The power of the Holy Spirit is meant to help us live like Jesus and point people to Jesus, giving all to the glory of God. If our motive to seek the Spirit's power is to be above others rather than to better love others, we've gotten it all wrong. If our motive is and wanting the Spirit's power is for anything less than our witness, we've missed the purpose of the power. God gives us his power as we live out our purpose for the praise of his name. Let's pause here to dig into the power that fell on Pentecost. See, you may not have begun speaking in other languages when you repented and received Jesus. You probably didn't run into the streets and preach a powerful sermon to your neighborhood when the Holy Spirit took up residence in you. I certainly didn't do either of those things when the Holy Spirit opened my heart to Jesus at a young age. In fact, I didn't even realize I was given the incredible gifts of the Holy Spirit in that moment. I prayed, I cried, I snuggled into my mom's arms and felt the enormous weight of my sin lifted. But I did not consciously welcome the Spirit's work in my life until much later in my walk with Jesus. Not having the same experience as 120 doesn't mean God hasn't started something that can be fanned into flame as our faith increases and our faithfulness to his word grows. Even if we don't observe the power of the Holy Spirit at salvation as tangibly as the early church did on Pentecost, that doesn't mean it's off limits to us. It means there's always more of God for us to experience. That has definitely been my experience in my walk with the Lord. So, parenting in the power of the Holy Spirit is about being empowered by the Spirit to parent in the likeness of Jesus, so that God may be glorified in our homes. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to parent with the fruit of the Spirit. We may not be healing beggars by the temple gate, but our daily doings are no less of an opportunity for our children to see the Holy Spirit powerfully working through us. I want my whole life to make much of Jesus, and I bet you do too. The way I make a PB&J, the way I toss laundry into the washing machine, the way I respond to people who cut me off in traffic, and I'm still very much working on that one, and the way I respond when I'm inconvenienced by my children. I want all of it to be done in the power of the Holy Spirit. So here's the last question for today. What situations in your daily parenting can be opportunities for the Holy Spirit's presence to be made known in your home? What situations in your daily parenting can be opportunities for the Holy Spirit's presence to be made known in your home? And I just kind of continue to ponder that question. And I kind of want to be able to ask myself, you know, on a daily basis, okay, Holy Spirit, how can I and what opportunities can be used on a daily basis for your presence to be known? And I pray this for all of us who are listening, that the Holy Spirit would even reveal to us opportunities for Him to work, for us to set ourselves aside and just let the Holy Spirit do the work in us. All right, that is the end of this session. Be sure to tune in for part 2 of day 3. Thanks for listening to the Raising Tiny Disciples podcast. Keep tuning in each week to get encouragement to confidently disciple your kids in everyday life.